Town Advisory Board is hereby called to order. Ernie Fajardo apologizes to everybody here because he's old and senile. So accept it or don't. Thank you all for coming. Okay.
Did you run here?
Pledge of Allegiance.
Brenda, lead us, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Please identify yourself.
Brenda Talley.
Ernie Fajardo.
Dan Cheney.
We have a quorum. Tonight, public comment, period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, vote might be taken. I'd appreciate it if everybody would wait till the agenda item comes up, since we have no action items. Deb?
This doesn't have anything to do with the town board, but I have a card for Thomas. I don't know how many of you knew Thomas.
He's still alive.
Yeah. Knew that Thomas had a quadruple bypass yesterday.
Oh, oh no.
So I'm going to see him on Sunday.
Here's
so.
A pen to pass around.
Oh, wow.
There's a card.
Thank you.
Wow,
okay.
I did not know that.
Yes.
He's in California?
No, he's at Sunrise.
Oh, well, that's easy.
I'm not going that far.
Wow.
I love Thomas, but no.
Okay. Approval of the agenda for tonight to hold or combine or delete any items. Any comments, Mr. Cheney?
No.
Brenda?
No.
Okay, we're cool. Let's go into the agenda. Informational items. Ooh. Receive a report from Metro regarding recent activity. Is Andy here?
I don't see him.
I don't see him. Okay, then we'll waive the report from Metro. Everything must be good. Receive a report from Mount Charleston Fire Protection District, and that would be George and Dave.
That'd be George. George and Dave, Mount Charleston Fire Protection District. Calls for April, we had total 18 calls for service. In May, we had total 25.
Wow.
Obviously, an increment of call service as the warmer months come in and the snow melts off. Just a reminder to everybody, June 3rd, Saturday, this Saturday, will be our Pine Needle event. We'll be hosting a open house at the fire station, barbecue and hot dogs. Please come over. We encourage the homeowners and residents to clean up their property, Pine Needle, dead down debris, branches. We'll have dumpsters located and donated by Republic Services too, across the entire canyon, two in Rainbow, one in Old Town, and one in Echo, and one in Lady of the Snows and Lee Canyon. Those dumpsters will be specifically for the Pine Needle event. So if we can ask you to pass on the word not to use those dumpsters for any garbage or household debris or furniture or anything like that, please don't do that. The dumpsters are for specifically for the Pine Needle event, to include pine needles, down debris, branches, and anything like that, please.
I have a question about
Saturday.
And some years we do volunteers that don't need to do their own homes. We do like public trails. We pick up garbage, and is that going to be happening as part of the event?
So yes, in the past we have had those volunteers. This year I only have a limited number of volunteers. What's that?
Is it too late to volunteer?
It is, because now I can't coordinate with other agencies. So I have to ask permission from the other agencies. Anytime I go into the federal land, I have to coordinate with the Forest Service and make sure that they're aware of those things.
Okay.
Now, we've done that in the past, yes, but I need that advance notice. And because the last couple of years, to be honest with you, our volunteer numbers have gone down, as everybody knows.
Some years also we've done picking up at residents' homes
who are incapable
of doing it themselves.
We are doing that. I got two residents right now, and so we are going to help them out.
Do you need helpers?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
See you
after. Why don't you tie in with me at the end of the meeting?
Thank you.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
It's not federal land, but there's a lot of stuff just right on the library property and road. Couldn't we do volunteer work there?
Sure. If you coordinate with the school district
No, I'm talking about everybody walks up this trail. And it's covered with pine cones now, along with branches.
Yeah.
Small branches. I'm not talking the big stuff. I hate how you do that.
Yeah. So, once you tie in with me at the end of the meeting, and I'll get some information. Any other questions related to the Pine Needle event? So just to reiterate, the transfer station will be open for any household debris or furniture. It's on State Route 157, mile marker 5.5, right below the NDOT station. There'll be a transfer station open for any of the household debris, garbage, or furniture that you need to get disposed of. We do have our piece of equipment staff and ready to go. Our seasonal staff came on board. We're waiting to staff up station 856 on Lee Canyon. Hopefully towards the end of this month, we'll have fully staffed, and we'll be staffing Lee Canyon with that personnel. That'll be a Wednesday through Saturday operation from 8:00 in the morning to 6:00. That's our seasonal wildland unit, our brush type 3 unit that responds to all the calls together with the station in Cobb Canyon. Chief, am I missing anything? So?
Not that I can think of.
Jason?
So the hours on the transfer station Saturday are 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Correct.
So no extended hours this year.
Any questions for the district?
Saturday morning, when can people show up and be fed?
11.
After
11 to 1:00.
11 to 1.
The kitchen closes at 1.
Okay.
You have to show up earlier than that.
And then you got to volunteer too.
To account for you being
late. You got to volunteer too.
George, were the dumpster locations one more time?
So the dumpster locations, thank you for that question. Dumpster locations will have two dumpsters located at the bottom of the rainbow, right at the fork. One in Old Town, right here across the street, in that empty lot right here. One in Echo, on the other side of the mailboxes, and then one in Lady of the Snows on Lee Canyon.
You can't miss it. Thanks, George. Any other questions? Thank you, George.
Thank
Dave,
you.
Got nothing to add from Dave. Okay. Receiver report from the Las Vegas Valley Water District. All right. Nice to see you.
Good to see you. Jason Bailey, Canyon Water District. Here with Aaron Gamble, system superintendent as well. Just some information on the water system this month. So as you all know, we've had a very good water year this year. Good snowpack, good precipitation, so the well levels have gone up. We are in the sustainable operating condition. I don't know if we've been in that condition for a couple of years, so it's a positive thing. The well levels are up. In fact, the Echo 3 well was flowing as of about April 13th until a couple of days ago, so you may have seen some groundwater there.
Mm-hmm.
The fire station precipitation gauge measured about a little over 1.5 inches of precipitation for the month of May. So current year to date, water year, we're about 183% of normal. So it's been a good water year.
183.
Yeah. So positive things there for the wells and their levels. But just a reminder that while we are at the sustainable operating condition, just please use water responsibly. A lot of people have begun outdoor irrigation. Just a reminder that during the summer months, it is prohibited to water from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. They're the hot parts of the day, so anytime before or after that, those times. And also just please check your outdoor irrigation, your systems, your clock, make sure they're working properly. There's no leaks or broken pipes due to the freeze. That would be appreciated. Yes.
What do you do with some of my neighbors who water excessively when, like, in early morning hours, like from 2 to 3 or 2 to 4?
So they're just yes. Watering the whole time.
They're just watering. It's running down the street.
So the our service rules state that if we are in a sustainable operating condition, which we are. That we should use water responsibly. It doesn't dictate necessarily how many times or hours, but they should be watering, of course, before 11 a.m. One of the things that we can do if we notice excessive, you know, use, we can kind of reach out to them and just to see if they check their clocks, if things are okay, there's no leaks, things like that. Just a reminder to them maybe to correct the course a little bit. So we can do that.
So we have nothing to do with Southern Nevada Water Authority? Because they have rules.
Ma'am, from now on, let's have the questions come through the chair because he has a report to give, and you can ask the questions after he finishes his report, please.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
So just quickly, I'll just respond to that question. We're on a separate water system up here. It's not part of the Valley's water system. They pull that water, of course, from Lake Mead, at least 90% of that. And so up here, we're on groundwater and wells, so separate from that. So we have our own service rules up here. Also, Chair Fajardo requested some information on a few things, so I just wanted to give a report on our budget. I think that was one of the things you asked about. Just the Kyle Canyon Water District cash balance. The reserve is healthy. Currently, it's approximately $625,000, which is a positive thing. However, of course, that is for maintenance and improvement of the system. Some of the more immediate needs for that are a platform on the Echo 3 well to help provide employee safety during maintenance. Also, some well casing and screen inspections and a pump replacement in that well. And then just some improvements to help during drainage for drainage during some artesian events. So those are some of the more immediate projects that will happen. I know you had asked about the Rainbow Discharge Pipeline. That's a larger cost project, and that has been on the books for a couple of years. We know it's important and something that needs to be improved and replaced. And so we actually have an internal meeting with our infrastructure management team next week to discuss that project. I think that it may have fell in the perfect storm right around COVID and not knowing the impact financially of that, and then just with some of the inflationary increases and things like that. So that is on our short list of projects, but again, that is a higher cost project. We don't want to put the system, we want to be fiscally responsible and not put it in a...
What is your budget for that specific project?
So a couple years ago, I think it was over $400,000, about $450,000, so it's up from that. And that's one of the discussions we'll have next week with our planning and engineering departments.
Also, if you would consider, we're seeing the grinder and we're seeing the paver and Rainbow now on patches, and I don't know if you can pull it together fast enough, but whatever you guys chew up when you do the road, the capital costs for redoing the roads will be included. But anyway, just food for thought.
Okay. Also wanted to report, we've had some residents in the Rainbow subdivision reach out to our staff this past week. They've noticed some micro bubbles in their water in their residences.
Yes.
We had a sample pulled yesterday at one of the homes and an analysis done. The analysis came back clean, normal, no contaminants in the water. It's likely just entrained air in the service lines due to the higher water table. Mm-hmm. We've seen that in years past. And so it likely will go away as the water table lowers or decreases.
The water tastes terrible.
The taste of the water?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that from anybody else, so that's kind of...
We have five faucets. One doesn't do it, the other four do, and the other four I wouldn't drink out.
They have the bubbles?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Does it taste different in
yes.
each faucet?
No, it tastes the
it
same
tastes
in
the
four
old.
Of the bubbles. It tastes different from the one in my kitchen that doesn't
have
any.
And are they old faucets?
Well, we did the house in 2008.
Okay, so not.
So not as old as the rest.
The taste is it, one, I would say, check and see if your aerator is dirty. A lot of times that can, if you take your aerator off and try checking that, you said it is just that one faucet.
No, it's four faucets.
But four faucets has air and all of them taste bad or just?
All four of them do. The one that doesn't have air tastes wonderful.
I have a funny feeling that has to tie into it.
And same if you just run the water for a while?
Mm-hmm. Does it, the bubbles don't go away.
I don't take the water.
Okay. I've got an RO system.
Just one other note to report, I think you'd asked about the mailboxes on our property there on Mont Blanc. So there are about six or seven mailboxes there.
Yeah.
They are on our property. And so the process, and you had noted that they could be a potential liability or danger with that,
mm-hmm.
that road right there. The process for doing that, we would just need to prepare a letter to the U.S. Postal Service. just explain the potential danger or liability of those mailboxes and request that they be relocated, of course, copying the property owners.
Right.
And things like that. So that's the process there of removing that. So,
I can trust you to do that.
We can do. We'll move forward with working on that. But those are on our property. But we'll need to work with the Postal Service.
Let me just ask a question, sure. Jason. Is anybody here impacted by those six mailboxes that are at the intersection of Moritz and Mont Blanc? Anybody live on Moritz or right there on Mont Blanc? Okay, I just wanted to get your input if you were. Thank you.
And that's my report, unless you have any questions from the board.
Okay, and after your meeting next week, I can rely on you to give me a call for an update.
I can do.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
We'll do.
We appreciate your coming up.
Thank you, Jason.
Don?
I asked a couple questions about the lodge and proposals to rebuild it. And we were talking about the water level and that they don't have enough water pressure. And I was just curious. How much more water do they need? And then would that be anything negative for the rest of us who have water? You know what I mean? I mean, would it suck that water out of the
would
system?
Would it affect your pressure?
Yeah.
Water pressure?
Or whoever's. Yeah. And is there enough water to fill what their needs are?
Right. So my understanding is previously the lodge was on its own well.
Mm-hmm.
The cabins were tied to our system, and so I don't know, Aaron, if you know if the plans are to tie into our system or to use that existing well.
And I have heard that that was part of the plans, is for them to tie in. I don't know where it's at in that process, whether it's been approved from the cabin.
Don, you might want to wait to ask, because maybe Megan has an update on something on that when she gives her report.
Sure.
Because they haven't seen anything, so it's really tough for them to comment.
I was curious.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming up. I appreciate it. Nevada Highway Patrol. Kathy, are you here?
Yes.
There she is.
Kathy Bonk, Sergeant with Nevada State Police Highway Patrol. I have some cards here with my cell phone number on. I'm the sergeant for the Mount Charleston Indian Springs District, and our stats this will be April, because today's the first, so I haven't done the May stats yet, so you'll get those at the next meeting. This was four troopers and one sergeant. The citations for that month, April, were 309.
Oh, my God.
Is that bad or good?
That's low. Normally we've got over 400.
Four troopers now full time. As our trooper numbers go down, our ticket numbers go down, because we can only write so many people. We policed 12 crashes, but only 5 of those were in this district, and 7 were in urban. So one of them was on 157, 2 were on 156. 2 were along the US 95, and the other 7 were urban. Of those crashes, the most common days were Sunday and Monday. All of them happened between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. 3 of them were injury crashes. Our response time average was pretty quick this month, down to 9 minutes, and that's because a lot of the urban crashes we just roll up on before they're even reported. We took 5 calls of burros, horses, or deer in the road, but there were 0 crashes involving the animals. We had 1 arrest, that was a DUI. We handled 15 abandoned vehicles. And again, this includes 95 up to 160 from Durango. 69 motorist assist or stranded people on the road, 11 pedestrians walking along the highway, 333 total traffic stops. And that looks like that's about it. We will be going down to 3 troopers, because one of our troopers got promoted or is getting promoted next month. And by July, we may be down to 2, because another trooper is transferring up north because his girlfriend got a job up there. And we've asked to have them replaced. We've asked for actually four to go back to full strength.
Where does the hiring come out, Kathy? I mean, who's doing that?
We have a whole recruiting office, but the recruiter just got hired somewhere else. So.
Perfect storm.
We worked with what we got, so. Yeah, hopefully there's a couple of pay bills that are really good for state employees this session, so hopefully, and the governor's budget also. Hopefully, starting July 1st, things should start looking up. But okay. It does take, you know, 6 months to hire people and then 6 months to train them. So we're looking at a year.
George, you had a comment?
I do. George Gonzalez, Montrose. Just a quick question. Is there any rumors about shutting down the operations up here, son?
No.
That's Mount Charleston. 1,000 rumors, 2 facts.
No, in fact, with the fatals that we've had along the 95, they're going to add another in Beatty and another in the Pearl from 160 North. So, and I've heard the 2 vacancies that we're going to lose, they're going to replace almost immediately. And then I don't have an answer on the other 2 because Urban doesn't have the people to give us.
Right.
And that's where they come from.
Thank you.
But I think after July 1st, it's going to look better.
Great. Yes.
I don't know if this is for you or not, but on the lower Kyle, north side of the road, there's been like an SUV or minivan or something that's been there. And I see a guy, is somebody just living in their van?
It could be. If they're on federal property, they're supposed to move every 2 weeks. I don't even know if that's an open camping area, but we did recover a stolen car off Schaumburg. That was just back there abandoned, and that had been there for a couple of days. So we'll check it. Do you know the cross street?
It's just, I'm trying to think if it's past the telephone.
It's on the north side?
Or the power line on the north side of 157. It's just every time I go down, it's there, and a couple of times I've seen a guy.
How far?
They own the land. There's who own the land, and they've moved travel trailers on.
Well, this isn't travel trailers, not those. This is a...
It's a van. Yeah.
Like a minivan.
Mm-hmm.
Small, dark.
Yeah. He drives another car to work. My kids live down there, so we're always...
Yeah, she's there every day.
Okay. Yeah,
if you think it's a different one, just text me the cross street and the description, and I'll check it.
Any other questions for Kathy? Thank you very much for coming up. We appreciate it.
Yep.
U.S. Forest Service, Deb McNeil.
Evening. Okay. Deb McNeil, I'm the area manager for the Spring Mountains National Recreation Area, for those that I haven't met before. And start with a few updates, and then Ray will give some fire updates. Good news on the law enforcement front for us. Our law enforcement officer, Nick LaPrade, has been promoted to the patrol captain. That position is always historically filled at the supervisor's office, which in our case is in Sparks, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
But they filled it here. They advertised it in both, and he got promoted. So that means I'll have a captain, plus we'll have 2 law enforcement officers, and then we have special agents. So that's actually like a third more law enforcement for me. He will be more office, but I'm real excited about that, and anybody who's worked with him knows it's well-deserved. All of our campgrounds, picnic areas, and trailheads are now open for the season. That was a lot of work because some of them were still under snow pretty recently. We do have some flooding at Deer Creek Picnic Area. That's the one off highway on the west. And then we also have avalanche damage at Upper Cathedral Rock. It's an area that was already closed from some avalanche damage a couple years ago. So we're putting in for some disaster funding, and if we can't get that, maybe a SNPLMA project to try to figure out how to redo that area so we can add more picnic, because we all know that site is very busy, as are all of our sites. Another good news piece, we are going to plant trees on June 10th. So that's not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. It'll be at Old Mill Picnic Area, as we're going to host the plants, but then we're going to and host the volunteers. And you can sign up if you're interested through gomontcharleston.com, which is Southern Nevada Conservancy. And then we're going to probably move them over into McWilliams, also if any of the campers and can want to volunteer and plant around the camp. So when you see those blue plastic things, that's what we put around the pine tree saplings when we plant them. And they're all native seeds that were collected here, and they grow out in a nursery, and then we pay to bring them down, and they, you know, they're this big. So on occasion, there have been leftovers that the residents have grabbed, but I can't sell them to you. But if you go over and volunteer, end up with one planted in your yard, that has happened. So we don't want them to die. So if we end up with extra, that will happen. So, and that's late breaking, trying to get the nursery to coordinate from Idaho to get them down. It's a little challenge. So, so anyway, that'll be exciting.
I'll wait for my questions.
Okay, and then I will, because the volunteers are doing cleanups happened, we do litter cleanups and graffiti cleanups with some of our partners, Friends of Nevada Wilderness, generally up in the areas, and so there's some graffiti up in Upper Mary Jane Falls. Talking to Jason, there's some trees down at Mary Jane and Trail, and so they offered to go in and get those for us, so we may have that, because we've been obviously doing our preseason fire stuff, which Ray will talk about. And then we're kind of hurting for staff right now, and we're waiting. Our hiring process is very, very clunky, and it's been over a year since they advertised permanent recreation positions. So lots of seasonals and the volunteers, and I'm going to be hurting at the visitor center because our one of our permanent staff is leaving in July. So if somebody is interested in volunteering, we may be able to do a reimbursement, it's not much, or we do have trailer pads down by the fire station that have hookups, and we could offer free housing for a volunteer if they work enough hours. So if you know somebody who has a trailer and might be interested in volunteering at least 20 hours a week, it is weekends, so, and it is busy. And I think I will stop there because I could keep talking, but lots going on, obviously.
So the blue tubes you put on the trees, how long do they stay?
They're supposed to stay a year, but the main thing is we're trying to, it keeps the moisture in, it helps them to live and survive. Yeah. But sometimes because they're small, we've left them for longer. But one of the things this year, and it's why we're staying in Lee Canyon, is as the volunteers go in to plant new ones, is to pull out the ones that are already there in those same sites. If they, you know, so I know they're very unsightly, and sometimes they blow away. So
we also sometimes fry the little guys.
Yeah. The tree experts, not me, tell us this is the best way to serve them.
I agree.
Sometimes they do, and so you know, and this year we had so much moisture, it was really good. Sometimes they get too wet too. But anyway, if you want to come plant some trees next week.
Are you guys aware of the people who are leasing horses, riding horses in the sawmill, and that's okay with you?
Yes, that was part of our prospectus process. So a couple of years we came and we actually did a competitive outfitting guide recreation event prospectus so that we could gauge how much people wanted to do and what types of services. So it's a national program. The Forest Service does it and DOI does it, but it allows a company to come in and operate at a site, kind of like the ski areas under a permit, right? And offer a service. So some of our local guidelines are, and we will, you'll start seeing some hiking offerings, you know, where they'll fit in a regular thing and can come up and shuttle people and bring them up and do an educational hike. We have the outfitter guide there for sawmill. We have some winter things, and then we're looking to permit a...
Do you realize that he takes up all the parking so that other people who are not, who bring their own horses up, have no place to park?
So that's actually not... We authorized them last year, and they were in the smaller side, and we watched it, and we never had any more than four trailers in there with the same time. So one of our goals is to
only... I'm only asking because people in Lower Kyle and a lot of people I know in Vegas have been emailing me to death. about that. Because last Saturday and Sunday, there was no trailer parking for them. And the weekend before, the last two weekends, non-people who want to rent horses. I think it's great that you're renting the horses. I'm just saying, is there some place they can go? Because they say there's no place else that they can get ticketed if they park any place else in Lethal.
Yeah, if you park in vegetation or non-place, but there are horse trails and parking at Cliff Rose, right, for some of the equestrian trails there. And Sawmill is open, and it's they're on one half of it, not even one half of it. So we did the space analysis, and then we looked at what they were using last year.
I'll have them give them to you
because they talked. Somebody came in on Tuesday and talked to my rec officer and called the visitor center, and we looked at the numbers again just to see. So all of the permits that I've signed or will be signing are for 2 years. If there's an issue with them, we can always.
I don't have an issue with them. But the people who are horse people who have always come up to the mountain have no place to park in the Sawmill now.
I haven't seen that. I think that's a concern that people have, but we haven't actually seen it come. But
people have gotten turned away the last two weekends. I don't know anything else about any other time.
Okay. Yeah, that is not. If that happened, that's new. And then there is a recreation foot race happening this weekend on Saturday at Sawmill. One time event. It's a Triple H, I think. Running with the dogs or something. I'll have to look at the name of the permit, but that's a one time, so it's just Saturday at the area. So, yeah, so you'll see some of those. All permit holders are supposed to have their permit on them, and there's obviously, with government, lots and lots of pages of stipulations. So, you know, if we see bad acting or have complaints, you know, we will take that in and we do monitor. So, but yeah, the goal is not to displace. The goal is to provide additional opportunities, you know, and make sure that you have some free, some pay, you know, but those funds, a percentage of those funds come back to the Forest Service and help us to monitor. And generally, good outfitter guide permit holders do good things, right? Because they want to keep that business going. They want to pick up the trash on the trail. They want to do good by the land. They're educating the users, which doesn't happen. So, but yeah, if that's the case, then pictures always tell good words, right?
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, take a picture and show me that like the parking lot's full, and we can reassess.
The trees that are being planted, the pines, ponderosas, and pinions, or you have some more exotic breeds?
Just the ponderosas.
Just the ponderosas. Okay.
The ponderosas. Yeah. So at some point, hopefully soon, we'll come and do another seed gathering to grow out, because these seeds are fairly old. But you know, if you know how to gather them, it's pretty complicated and very specific, and then because everything's special up here, we have to be really careful we're not damaging the trees or butterfly habitat or any one of a million other things.
Great.
And Ray Dombrowski, District Fire Management Officer for the Spring Mountains. Fire's been pretty quiet because of the amount of moisture we've gotten this year. But with that, we know more vegetation's growing, more grasses. So just be careful out there. Talk about staffing first, and then I'll go into prevention. All four of our engines are fully staffed this year. We'll have the one on the north at the Three Lakes, that's their home, but they are kind of mobile. They cover down here in Mountain Spring quite a bit. We'll have the two engines here out of the Kyle Station, and then the one out of Mountain Springs. We do lose a patrol this winter, and we gained another patrol, so our patrol staff is fully operational, with one in the north, one here in the Lee Kyle Canyons, and one in the south, but they have the ability to work across those lines. They can come over to work here as needed. So we're looking really good on staffing. We did finish our readiness review, a yearly review. Our SO staff comes down and evaluates us on administrative and field exposure or experiences. So we had a mock fire drill yesterday, and everyone from the SO is very happy, and we're ready for fire season. Fire season started off slow. We've actually sent out 3 engines already this year to scrap fire events, one on this forest in the north, and 2 that left today for the Kaibab National Forest out of Williams. And so we're supporting other groups trying to get prescribed fire done, and we have no prescribed fire planned until fall. Nothing to worry about there. As far as fire restrictions, it's still open conditions. There's no stage 1 fire restrictions. We're monitoring them daily, the conditions, fuel sampling going on, our levels, what we track those on is the energy release component, and it's in the basement. And our levels are historically low. Where, you know, this time of year average is a level of 35 to 40. Our extreme is 55, and we're at 25. So there's no concern of wildfire at this point. Most of the vegetation is green or coming into green up at the higher elevations. But that doesn't mean not to be careful. Folks that live up here, this is your community. Be careful with sparks and dry tinder, driving up and down the canyon, making sure you don't have any issues with tires or dragging chains, because as you go down in elevation, the fuels are ready to burn, and we need your help to be supportive of us so we can keep fires small. As far as fire restrictions, a month out from 4th of July, I don't know if we'll be in those conditions, but like I said, we're monitoring them daily. So, any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Report from NV Energy, PSOM. I don't see the NV Energy boys here tonight. I knew if I bought a generator and installed it and got it hooked up, we'd never have an outage again.
Thank you.
So you can all thank me. Okay, my dear friend, Clark County Administration, your floor, dear.
It's me. Well, I'll do the second item first. I do not have an update from the lodge. I was hoping to have something to share, so I put it on there just in case I did. I talked to their attorney today, and he said there's no update to share at this time. But as you guys know, the legislature is over, and they did not submit anything for legislation. So that tells you something. And the only other thing I have, I'm going to get upset, and I wish I wouldn't. So I've been a liaison for almost 11 years, and I'm not going to be your liaison anymore. So I'm sure some of you are going to be very happy about that.
Not true.
Tears of joy?
No, they're tears of sadness. I think of you guys as like my kids, and so I am sad. I'm a very emotional person anyway, as most of you know who've known me for a while. So it wasn't my choice. I did not ask for it. There have been many times when I said I never want to go to Mount Costum again. So maybe God's heard me. Because you guys have been rough on me sometimes. So Jennifer D'Amico is going to be your new liaison.
Oh. Hi, Jen.
Beat me up.
No, you can handle her.
She's very nice. She's much nicer than I am. I'll be staying home through October. I'm not going anywhere. Are you laughing at me?
No.
Don't laugh at me.
Slapping.
I wish I wasn't like this, but this is just who I am. So I did not ask for this change. Most of you know I work for 2 commissioners, and Commissioner Jones, our area has expanded after redistricting. I got a lot more area in the south, so I have all of Prim now. Commissioner Jones asked for me to be able to work for him. So I'll still have 4 town boards instead of 6, so I'll still be very busy. My desk is right across the aisle from Jennifer, so I'm not leaving. I'll still be there. I don't know that I'll ever be fully away from you guys, so for good, better or worse.
You have to go to Prim.
Prim is one of my towns. I have Prim, Jean, yeah. Right now, I go from Prim to Indian Springs. I live down that way.
Prim's
well, that's
like Sandy Valley.
That's
Prim.
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah. Okay.
So
that's
no, this
great.
From here
that's
is an hour
right.
and a half. So.
Yeah, that's great.
So anyway, so that's it. I didn't think I was going to upset, but
So anyway, I didn't have it in here, but Public Works is, they worked on the potholes. They're not done. There's still some to do. And they're doing some milling and regrading. And they couldn't do it sooner because they have to wait for things to dry and for it to warm up. So they're working on that. I don't know what areas they're doing. They've
Rainbow
identified,
right now.
Yeah, they've identified the worst areas. And I know that you're all going to say, oh, well, this area is terrible. They didn't do it. They have to determine that. They just redid some on my way home, and there's a couple spots. I'm like, why on earth did they not do that section?
Right.
But I do know part of it, just from that experience, is that without turning it into a project, which they have to bid out, they can only do a certain amount. Mm-hmm. And so they can't do everything, or else they'd have to bid it out, and they wouldn't be able to do it internally. So it's kind of this or nothing right now. So, but... They're working on it, so you should be seeing them for the next few weeks. Okay?
Thank you, dear.
Yes?
You said something about the lodge didn't give anything to the legislature. What would they have to have presented?
So there's legislation that won't allow any more commercial development on the mountain,
right.
Which would have included an expansion of their commercial development. Uh-huh. So basically, if they were to go outside the footprint of the old building at all, anything beyond the footprint, and
so they're not going to build, are they?
I don't know that.
I mean, it appears that way.
I think there was a misconception that it was just because they wanted to do some hotel rooms that was going to kick that in. No, it's any kind of expansion. So I believe they are going to rebuild, but it's complicated. So I think they probably have a pretty decent investment in that property, so I can't imagine they're just going to walk away. But yes, to see what's going to be.
It's real hard for her to comment unless there's been a formal submittal, and there hasn't been any formal submittal for anything. They did the courtesy to us last year to show us what they'd like to do, and that plan won't fly. So they're going to look for the path of least resistance.
Well, I hope so.
Well, they got turned down for their tents. They wanted to have summer tents.
Yeah, they did not get turned down.
No, that was
fire. They were 100% approved for their tents. 100% approved.
Right.
What? They said they got turned down. What?
No, they did not. And I don't think they would have said that because that was not true.
That was fire.
There were fire requirements that caused problems, but they were approved for the tents as far as the zoning to have
them.
Yes,
that's right.
I meant for the fire.
Yeah.
The rule is that the tents you can't have for more than 6 months on the same spot. Mm-hmm. So we looked at options, you know, for to have them move forward with that, but I don't know. It was a pleasant meeting when they were here. Maybe they
that might be
like coming back.
Speculation abounds on this mountain. We approved it for a year extension for them because I liked the parties up there. But then it was a fire issue. They had a dead fire hydrant on site.
It's not even that. It's the requirements of a tent structure. You can only have it for 180 days.
Yeah.
And so that's the reason they took it down. That's another thing that I've been told, which is absolutely not true. They did not take it down because they weren't approved. They took it down because the 180 days was up.
Yeah.
And who's going to want to keep something you're not using up during the winter?
Right.
So if anybody says anything, nothing was done wrong. They got all the proper permits. They are stuck with the fire code, which is not negotiable, and it was 180 days. The 180 days was up, and they removed it. It was not, I've been told it was clear that they were guilty, so that's why they took it down. That is absolutely not true. They took it down because the time was up on that permit.
So they couldn't have it in that spot. How far did they need to move it?
Those are things we looked at and talked about. I know, those are things we looked at and talked about, and there were possibilities. They may still be looking at it. They still have the approval. They still have the approval for the land use. So they could still pursue that, and we looked at some options. I think outside the box, so believe me. I called around, I was like, what can we do? There are maybe some things that could be done.
Cool. Let's see.
Are you done, dear?
Okay. Yes.
Good.
please thank your road crew for cleaning that drainage channel up by that road, that by Mary Jane and Trailhead Park.
By Mary Jane, okay.
Yeah.
That, like you said, it literally stopped all the water from running down.
Yeah, but I was really enjoying the babbling brook sound every morning.
It's still there. There's still some water coming up, not, it's catching that channel.
Oh, but not
across.
In my, well, across from the street, it's gone. That part's gone.
So,
but it is real fun to go where it's now going across the road and do that walk, and
yes.
It's pretty cool. But it was an amazing amount of water.
Yes.
For sure, it was good.
But yeah, once they did that, all that water was running down.
I waited about 4 weeks before I called it in. I think, do I really want to call it in? It's so nice to just get up in the morning and hear the water.
And let me tell you, that bloom of globe mallow coming up the mountain
is
unfreaking believable. If you've not driven down and back up, do it.
So it how was the light though? Because when the light is right,
it was amazing. That's my favorite desert flower my whole life. So it's amazing. I'm going to drive back up and take some pictures.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you.
We'll miss you.
And thank you for all your work.
Yeah, I know I'll miss you. We have no planning and zoning actions. We'll go to general business. Presentations from applicants for round 12 of Mount Charleston Alliance. Lake program. We have Southern Nevada Off-Road Recovery, Nevada State Highway Patrol, and Mount Charleston Fire Protection. So, Snore, are you around?
Yes, sir.
There you are. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Good seeing you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Ian Quill. I'm with Southern Nevada Off-Road Recovery. We wanted to just give a quick update, just an overview. We recovered slightly over 100 vehicles the season before last. This season it's close to 100, almost 190. Just in the months between December and about February, March. So it's been a really busy season. We want to thank the town of Mount Charleston because in the last grant session, we were able to use those funds to provide gear to our volunteers. And everything that we do is 100% volunteer. So those funds went directly to getting gear that we needed to support that increase in recovered vehicles and people that needed our help. So we're here again for this year's grant request, and we are asking for $7,500. We are planning on spending, with the fuel that we're going to use this next season, $14,526. Of that $14,000, $4,165 will be the fuel, if you just factor in the trips up here for those recoveries we did this season. The total for the gear is going to be $10,361, which will cover approximately 25% of that cost. It's going to go towards, we would like to get 10 sets of chains, snow chains. That was kind of our biggest gap this year, was having enough snow chain sets that we were able to get out to volunteers, because it was a more difficult season and we needed the traction. So chains would definitely help us. We're looking for 10 sets of tow hooks. We're asking for 5 pulley blocks, X-locks, 5 winch line extensions that are 25 feet or 550 feet. And we're also asking for slot shackles. So the total cost on all that equipment, again, is the $10,361, and we were asking for the $7,500.
Any questions? Any questions from the board?
Just one. I think it was you guys that was at the last meeting, you were talking about storage of some of the equipment that was provided. Is that still an issue, needing storage?
We have storage on our own. We can store it on our own. What we were asking for is if the town wanted it to be accessible to the residents, and we concluded that we still do need to get it to the fire department, but the fire department would be the best place to keep a set of recovery equipment.
Yeah.
So we will reach out with George and you guys and get you a set of that equipment. But keeping it in a trailer like at Metro Station probably isn't going to work for everybody.
Yeah.
So
I just wondered.
I have a comment. I talked to Andy, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
And he just about how much help you're giving him, and you know, we want to be responsible, and he had nothing but praise, and especially in the Mac Canyon stuff, he's really glad you guys are there to help him. So
we've taken the time to meet with both Andy and then obviously Matt Marlowe before him, and so we work directly with them. They actually do call us a lot, because the cost of dispatching the SAR unit is very expensive, right? And so if we can get out and actually rescue these people, and I would say about 70 to 80% of the time, we could take care of a problem before we exhaust the resources of Metro.
Yeah.
So we're filling that gap.
And how many of your group does the 10 sets, is that for each person?
We need various sizes. That's the thing, because everybody's got a different size vehicle tire. So we're going to be getting the most popular sizes and have that flexibility to be able to get multiple people to get changed when needed. So
we have multiple people that like to come up on different days. So the chains would serve multiple people, not just one person.
And that's enough sizes to meet your needs.
Okay, so
things are a good start. Yeah, some of us do have our own chains, but again, we're trying to get more volunteers because it's growing. Our demand is growing, and so by having additional chain sizes available and not asking our volunteers to come out of their own pocket for these chain sets, it's
going to help. Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to get to is if there was money to get additional ones, would that be of assistance?
Oh, that would be a huge help.
Would be helpful.
And like how many more?
I would say maybe if we can go 15, that would be plenty.
And do you know what that cost would be?
It would be...
We can do the math.
$287 a set.
For the chain.
And then it's another $43 for tensioners.
Stand by.
So about $320 a set.
320
times 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be
1600.
Okay. We'll see where we are at the end of the night and see if we can do that.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I see where you're going.
Okay.
Thanks for your presentation. Hang around.
Okay.
I don't think we'll have a check for you tonight, but you can have an answer.
Oh, no, we make them go through a lot of hoops to get something.
I'm sure you do.
Well, I don't. The county does.
George has a question.
Not a question, just a comment that I want to say thank you for the work that you guys do over there. It's not just search and rescue that gets impacted, but it's also us, because we get a lot of calls over there, too.
Sure.
To Max Canyon, Champion Road, and all those roads
right.
That people shouldn't be there.
And we do appreciate you guys too. But that is
I don't know. That's
thank you.
Okay, who's next up?
Next up would be Nevada State Highway Patrol. Kathy, back here again.
But also, second, hats off to Snore. They are on my speed dial also, and they've responded many, many times to cars that we could not get. So this year's grant is just a single piece of equipment. It's just a really expensive piece of equipment. And we wrote the grant as if we were fully staffed, so that's why it's so expensive. This year's grant is infrared technology. So it's a thermal monocular that troopers would be able to use for a variety of reasons after even in the daylight, really, because it's thermal imaging. But for example, we take a lot of crashes, as you know. We take a lot of rollovers and ejections, and using this equipment would allow us to quickly scan that geographical area to determine if there are any other people that need to be tended to. And typically, the fire department is there, and we have to kind of walk in a line to check for other victims. It would also help us when, and I've policed several crashes after dark where burros or a horse has been struck and they're not there. And so they've obviously gotten up and managed to go at least a little ways, but we just couldn't see them with our spotlights and our limited lighting capabilities at night. So the thermal monocular would locate those animals and either get them help or to take them out of their misery a lot sooner than finding them the next day. There's a lot of other uses for this equipment, but it would build upon the equipment, some of the equipment that you guys approved last year, that ATX night vision binoculars actually helped us find that little lost dog Bruno that was got away from his mom and dad at the 6.2 mile marker when they were gonna take their chains off. And Bruno hopped out and took off. And he was out up in Lee Canyon
for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
And getting down to like 8 degrees one night, and it was right near that quarry. Mm-hmm. And a trooper was out. We employed some civilians, and some people were up there hiking and spotted them. And then they weren't sure if it was a fox or not, and a trooper went up there and used those binoculars and spotted them, and we called the owner right away, and he drove up and got his dog back. So your equipment helped us really, really well in that area. And had we had thermal, I mean, it might have been even a quicker recovery. He would have been out there for 3 weeks, but tough little dog, Chihuahua Corgi mix.
Oh, wow. Whoa. That's amazing that the mountain lion didn't get it.
All the tow equipment that you guys approved for us, we, of course, our rescues aren't as elaborate as Snorers. They're just pulling people out of off the side of the road that drive up there when they don't have four-wheel drive and they get stuck on the side of the road. But we've pulled out almost 1,000 cars with that tow equipment, which is just incredible. So your equipment that you provide us goes to, it's put to work, and it gets a lot of use. These thermal monocular pieces are $5,200 a piece, so they're pretty expensive. And if we were fully staffed, we would have 6 troopers, one sergeant and one lieutenant, but as I just said earlier, we only have 4 troopers right now, one sergeant and one lieutenant, so that would be 6. We don't expect to get all of these. A few would be awesome, and they will be put to good use. But you can see the in-kind match that we have is all related to figuring out how the product works, getting a demo and some training from the manufacturer, and then utilizing them in scenarios so that all the troopers, all the personnel do know how to use it efficiently. And we would have to design that training program and then deploy the training program to all the troopers and the sergeant and the lieutenant. So that in-kind match is slightly over 10% at $4,763, and that's all in time spent. And that's it.
Kathy.
Yes.
Since you've got 4 staff now, asking for 7 seems excessive to me. When you get fully staffed, you want to come back next year and ask for 3
yep.
more?
That's what we were hoping for, to get four for the troopers now and at least 1 sergeant. And then when we're fully staffed, come back.
So is that 5, 4 troopers and 1 sergeant?
There's 4 troopers, 1 sergeant, and 1 lieutenant.
So you want 6 now?
That would be ideal.
Okay.
I have just a quick question for Megan.
Mm-hmm.
What's the turnaround time from when these go in to when they actually get to purchase?
Several months. It'll be before next winter, though.
Okay. Only because seeing the 2 bids for the same item, there's a real large discrepancy in price.
Yeah, they're the same exact product.
And it's the same exact thing.
Yeah, one was able to offer them cheaper.
What is
my concern is... Mm-hmm. A lot of times these bids are only good for 30 days, and I'm, with how things are going up, wonder, can we do this amount, and then if it goes up?
So, we ran into this last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I'm
it was so unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and approve what you want today, and we'll make sure that it is for specifically 6 things, not just an amount, but 6 of the pieces of equipment. Mm-hmm. So if the price does change, I will have backup to why the amount would change.
Okay, because I didn't know whether we should approve this amount for 7, and if it went up, we could at least get the 6. How do you want to do it?
Except you guys have a lot of leeway this year, so that's your call.
Yeah, we've got money.
Can we just add the language bus escalation?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I would just say it's for 6 of that units at the price right now. And then once we go to the BCC, because it's a couple months before we get to BCC,
We'll check and make sure where the price is.
Okay.
I just want to make sure they get the six. Yeah, and not end up with five.
So put that in your motion.
Okay.
Thanks, Kathy. We appreciate all you do.
The training, so that amount is your time, is the NHP's time?
Yes.
Okay, and then Trigicon's going to come in, that's the plan anyway?
Yes.
To come in and train.
Yeah, that wouldn't cost us for them to come in.
Correct, yeah.
What costs us is the time for our personnel to be there.
Got it. Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Next group, Mount Charleston Fire Protection District.
All right, good evening. Jason Douglas, Assistant Fire Chief. Chief Gonzalez asked me to go over our grants this year. So our first one we've got, we're looking at the CPR AED, which we did just recently. I see some of the folks here actually were in that class. We had 24 attend this year, which I thought was great. Pretty much it teaches our residents and community members how to do CPR and use an AED. Most of you folks know that we're pretty far from a lot of ALS care or higher care, so it's pretty good for everybody to know how to do CPR and AED. We're looking for money for that. We bring in our instructor. We had a lot of good reviews this year. Actually, we had quite a few residents say that she was great, which she is one of our volunteers actually also. So. Any questions on that one?
We're asking $1,200. That's the same amount. Thanks for approving that last year's grant that was used. We want to keep the community involved, teach the community how to properly respond to medical emergencies, whether you're at your house, at the library here, at the restaurant, at the resort, anywhere, that hopefully you can start that cycle live as soon as you can, and then activate 911 so we can come in and hopefully save somebody's life. So that's what we're looking for.
How's the class advertised? Because I missed it. I've been asking, I called you guys a few times, because I did take it once before. How was it advertised?
We posted it on social media. We posted it at the library. We posted I believe I sent that through the email chain, but I might have missed that one. If I did, my apologies.
Okay.
But that's why we want to keep doing it, because we know that people missed it, either because they're on vacation, unable to attend, or something like that. So we want to keep the classes going.
I'll see you after.
Yeah, yes. Any other questions regarding the
event? We got rave reviews. Did not hear one bad thing about the two classes you guys presented.
Awesome.
It's very rarely do you not get somebody moaning about something.
Did you ever consider doing a stop the bleed as well?
Yes, we talked about some of those classes. In fact, a couple of years ago, when we did the first aid, we didn't get the good reviews that we wanted to. So we got some instructor issues, I guess. I don't know. We just didn't get good reviews on the first aid class, but that's another class.
I can help you out with that. I can possibly.
Okay.
My daughter-in-law can.
Yeah. So yeah, we're open to suggestions. First aid class, stop the bleed class. Those are good community classes that everybody should be trained in.
Okay.
Round two.
So we have a second application. This one's new for us this year. We're looking to actually do EMS simulators. So what that really is it's kind of like the mannequin we use for CPR. So it has the patient's head and neck, and it's for us to practice airway management. So I'll get a little bit into EMS for you guys here, but it's pretty much, if someone's not breathing correctly, we want to establish an airway. And to do that, we usually use tubes and different things like that so we can establish that airway, whether it's a car accident, whether it could be someone who's been in a bad position, in a cardiac arrest, things like that. And so what these are, they're simulators. There's a neck simulator to do neck simulation, and then there's one that has the face and the body. And that gives us more ability to practice that kind of in-house at the station instead of sending our employees down for extra training or things like that. And like we talked about our paramedic program last couple meetings, this directly helps with the paramedic program as well, as we're bringing more paramedics on to keep their skills set up. As we do have calls here, we don't have the high frequency of traumatic calls that they get in town per se, which is good. But we want to keep up our skill set. So we're asking for the $3,600 on that for two simulators as well as kits.
All the equipment.
And that go with it that kind of help us get repetition on those simulators.
And that's for all of our staff to practice.
we certainly can use some other simulators for other skills, but if we can get any more allowance to
you
purchase.
Want to expand on other
simulators? Yeah, there's definitely other simulators we can use for at all of our levels, which is the EMT basic, advanced, and paramedic level. We do have a need for those simulators that we can use here. We can store them here at the station, and we can use them at will for all of our staff. All of our staff gets training. If we don't use the skills, we lose the skills. That's what happens. Ask me that. I'm an office guy now most of the time, so I gotta practice and I gotta train, and it's the same way with the guys at the station and everybody here at the station. We need to practice the skills at all times. We gotta get hands-on and practice the skills.
Would those other ones be about the same cost?
I can say that probably if you can double the amount, we can get some of those other simulators for other from the vendor.
Yeah, they'd be similar in price. Some of other ones we're looking at are like arm simulators for IVs, IOs, different things we're trying to look at with that IO simulators. So they're around the same price.
Having been stuck with an IV by someone that didn't know what they were doing,
yes.
I would appreciate you somebody saying
that. Exactly.
Where's the line?
What do you think we learned?
Oh. George, are the disposables?
No, I actually had someone, and it was squirting out. They just ran out of the room. It looked like a spring.
Are there disposables that need to go along with this, or is that covered as disposables?
That's part of the kids.
Okay. Some of the kids.
Those kids.
At the
okay.
Bottom.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Any
questions?
Thank you.
No? Okay.
Okay, so let me recap for you. Snore, if we add additional 5 sets of chains, the total would be $91.57. That's with 15 sets of chains.
$91.57. Okay.
The thermal imaging equipment for 6 would be $31,230.
Okay.
And then you'll have to tell me if you want to do something with George's.
$31,230. So we're going to have the same issue with the chains and anything steel or anything material related going up for snore.
Right, and oh yeah, and okay. those things we can take into account.
Okay.
Because if it were huge, like remember a couple years ago, Metro got that trailer to keep their UTV in, and it went up $5,000. We had to go back to the board for that one because that was a big jump. But if it's you know a couple hundred dollars, that's understandable.
Okay.
So this is for
okay. And which one of you wants to make a motion?
What about
we're going
to
double
but
that
then
one
we've
to
got
George.
To double
the
simulators.
3606. Yeah.
So it'd be 7232.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen.
Do we need a total for everything, the 12?
7212, correct.
Hold on.
Yeah, plus the 12.
Stand by.
7212. 7212 plus 12. But these are different items, so we'll just do them individually. Megan, do you want this in one motion for all 4?
What did you
yes.
Okay.
For the
hold on. Stand by.
Yeah.
48,819 is the total with.
Say it again.
48,819 is the total with the additional snore with 6 of the infrared,
right.
Is in, or whatever that's called.
With
thermal
charge.
And yeah, then doubling the training center.
Oh, because we took. We went down on that.
Okay. 48,819.
I can't make that motion.
I make a motion to accept the presentations, the proposals, adding the 5 additional sets to snore, taking the thermal units to 6, to include 6, the community CPR at 1,200, and doubling the simulators for our fire district for a total of 48,819.
Okay, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
We need a second.
No, because second would be of 2 votes. We don't need to vote.
We don't need a second.
Okay, good. Yeah, there you go.
Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay, let me give you one caveat.
Okay.
Copy.
And Jen and I will fight for you on this, but our administration may have a little heartburn about getting some sort of simulator that was not requested in the first place. I promise we will fight for it,
okay.
But I'm just putting that caveat in there that that may be something we have to ask for next time.
Can you get us a submittal on something that you want to purchase to help us with that process?
We'll get that, but it wasn't a part of the original thing.
I understand.
And let me tell you, I got no problem with it.
Right. I understand.
But they are sticklers. And so I'll argue the best I can. They get so sick of me because I argue everything. So, but there's two of us now. So.
Well, it does say EMS training simulator.
I know. You're preaching the choir, baby.
Okay.
Well, and bean counters will be bean counters. That's what they do.
Yes. So
here we are. We have a motion that's been approved. I want to thank SNOR. I want to thank Nevada Highway Patrol. I want to thank the fire department for their presentations. You passed this test. Now you just have to deal with administration. Comments from the general public. Anybody got a thing they want to talk about?
Any issues in the subdivisions?
Okay, hearing none, our next meeting is July 27th of this year. I invite everybody to come. It shows concern of the community, so we like to see people that are concerned.
And Thomas's card hit a dead end with me, so sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a pen here. Nobody's got anything else? Meeting adjourned. Thank you all.